Roger, Denny, and Michael riding home with you this afternoon. And let's hope your ride home is more uneventful than some of the people northbound on U.S. 131.
Yeah, we understand it's becoming a real skating rink up there. Multiple accidents now happening from the Wayland exit northward. So be advised that, and this is going to be rapidly changing throughout the afternoon. Just took a look out the window during the break, and here on the west side of town, you can tell that the roads are getting very slick, slippery, snow-covered, so please be advised and be careful out there.
Yeah. I am a weather geek, and so I was watching a weather map earlier, and Grand Rapids and from there north was, they are expected to get 2 or 3 inches mm-hmm. of snow tonight. So it's not a surprise that the first accident happened closer to Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
But now we're getting snow down here, so you are going to have to be a little careful on your way home this afternoon.
Don't go driving off the road.
Uh-uh. Keep shiny side up. Stay on the pavement. And later in this hour, we're going to have another one of Michael Loudon's famous trivia questions. This one will get you a $25 gift certificate to PJ's Frame-Up. They're on Gladys Street, right by the new Dick's. And shopping, local, important to our economy. And what is this Saturday?
Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday, the American Express program. And we're supporting that. And from now through Christmas, giving away gift certificates to local businesses, this time PJ's Frame-Up on Gladys Street, right by the new Dick's. Joining us now is Jill Schlesinger, the editor-at-large of CBS Money Watch, and we're going to ask her what the economy looks like through the end of the year and maybe a glimpse of next year. Jill, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. Hey, I'm no longer with Money Watch. I'm just a plain old CBS News person.
Oh, okay. Well,
how about
now,
that?
Now it's Jill Schlesinger, a plain old everyday.
You want it? Yeah, a plain old everyday CBS News chick.
Okay.
You know what my official title is? I made it up.
Very long title, too.
No, it's good. CBS News Business Analyst.
Ah,
all right.
It just means that I can go on TV and radio and, you know, have the same title, I guess.
Yeah.
But you excited about the holiday season?
Sure.
Maybe.
I'm convinced here. What's going on?
I think you woke him up, Jill. No, yeah. It's okay.
Come on, man. It's starting. You got 2 days here before it really rocks and rolls.
Okay. I'll work on my enthusiasm level.
Yeah, me too.
You know, because the retailers are really struggling this year. There are 6 fewer days between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year.
Yeah.
And that means they are coming after our dollars in a very aggressive manner. And that may mean, you know, opening earlier. We know that a bunch of stores are opening mm-hmm. on Thanksgiving Day itself. But the offers are tremendous. I mean, they are very aggressively slashing prices much earlier in the season this year than we have seen in many years in the past.
And how will the consumer see that?
Well, I guess it really depends on your personal situation, right? Because if you are the kind of person who's got a good job or a decent job, not even a good job, and you feel secure and you've saved up your money, I think you're going to be very happy with what you see out in the stores or online. The problem is if you are one of the 11.3 million Americans who's out of work or the millions who are working a lot of different part-time jobs together to just juggle your bills and keep your head above water, you know, no great deal is going to get you to spend money. It's still tough for you. And mm-hmm. as a result, I think that a lot of the retailers themselves are not sure what the season's going to look like, and that's confounding economists as well. They're just not really sure how to read the season ahead.
Jill, having said that, I'm curious, what's your take on more of the stores, especially the national stores, opening their doors on Thursday?
Well, I think that it's really, they must have information that we don't. Because, you know, I'm sure that you are like me, that every person you run into and the people who are listening right now are tisk-tisking, saying what a horrible thing it is that we are opening stores on Thanksgiving. And that's pretty much like everyone you know says that. But someone must be going to those stores, because I'm telling you, these retailers have information, they've done analysis, and they know that some of us really like to go out and shop on Thanksgiving. We must not like our relatives very much, or we don't like watching football games.
There you go.
There are plenty of people who are hitting those stores and spending money, so they have the information there. They are using that information, and they are clear, hey, you know what? Things are looking good for a lot of people. Let's give them the opportunity to part with their money.
Yeah. Well, Jill, I want to let you know I'm not going to be out on Thanksgiving shopping.
Not me either, Jill.
No, I'm not going to either. But, you know, it does really make you wonder, who is it who's out there? And what? And I'd love to hear from the people. I mean, there are some people. One woman said to me that I don't get it. It's like a sport. She says, you know, there you are actually watching the game on TV. I am playing the sport live. And that's what they think. It's very exciting for some people. I don't get it myself.
Yeah. Jill, is JCPenney going to survive?
They were taken off the S&P.
Yeah, they were.
I think that they may survive. I think that they've gone through a terrible time. I think that they are likely to survive in some form. It may not be the form that, you know, somebody would want to see, but it's going to be something different. But I think they should survive. I mean, they do have a business that should be able to withstand it. They've made some terrible mistakes, management mistakes, but at least with a management mistake, if it's not too late, you should be able to fix it. And I think they may be able to fix it. Also, really interesting big retail news that came out today. We have an heir apparent now named at Walmart. And I think that's kind of interesting because it's a very young guy who is named. His name is Doug McMillon, and he's going to succeed the current CEO of Walmart starting on February 1st. 47-year-old guy. So, I mean, this guy could be around for 20 years as the head of Walmart.
Okay. Okay, let's take a look at the stock market then between now and the end of the year. What does your crystal ball suggest?
Well, I don't have a very good crystal ball, but I can tell you that when you come into the fourth quarter with great momentum, which is what we have done, chances are that, you know, stocks are probably not going to collapse anytime soon. Now, that could change. You know, world events occur, things happen, certainly. But, you know, we've got a great market here, and, you know, we're up 22, 23% for the Dow, 26% for the S&P 500, the NASDAQ up 32%. We are on track to have one of our best years since the late 90s, and that's making people nervous. But don't be nervous. It's okay. It'll be all right.
Okay. What about 2014?
Oh, my God. Now you're asking me about 2014? Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the economy should look better. I'm not so sure the stock market's going to keep going up. I mean, the economy should continue to improve if things don't get crazy in D.C., but that does not mean that the stock market will go up. The stock market's going to have to contend with a big change in Federal Reserve policy, and how it absorbs that, we're not so sure yet.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your joining us, and you're still fun to talk to, even though you're just a regular CBS
business analyst. It was supposed to be, you're supposed to be impressed by it, you know, like, ooh, you moved out of the online division, and now you're in the big part of the company, but I see you're not impressed. It's okay. All right, I can take it.
No. You always impress me, Joe.
Take care. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You too. Thanks, Joe. Jill Schlesinger, business analyst for CBS News. 590 WKZO time is 4:17. After we take a quick break here, we're going to have a Michael Loudon trivia question for a free $25 gift certificate to PJ's Frame-Up. But before we go to traffic, apparently we've got additional traffic issues.
We do, and I just got a phone call near mile marker 50, which was at the 106th Avenue exit on northbound 131. more accidents there, multiple accidents reported. Northbound is open but backed up for many miles. So be advised that it's not a good scene as you travel through Allegan County into Kent County this afternoon. Things are rapidly deteriorating. We expect that to just continue as throughout the day, and hopefully we'll improve as we get into the evening hours.
And don't say we didn't tell you to drive careful out there, folks.
Yeah, you don't have to drive 70 now when it's snowing, and then don't slam on your brakes.
That's
just,
right.
You know, kind of ease on them.
That's right.
Remember that pump your brake thing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
July is long gone.
Yes, yes.
You don't have the hood down on the convertible anymore, so just be advised.
And, and if you do, you're nuts.
That's true. Absolutely.
Drive careful, folks.
Yeah.
590 WKZO.
The Trogs.
Roger, Denny, and Michael taking you home. The Trogs were not the answer to this hour's trivia question.
No, no.
Nope.
Nowhere near, trust me.
The trivia question is Michael's responsibility.
All right.
And our ground rules were no sports questions. And this time you get a $25 gift certificate to PJ's Frame-Up at 218 Gladys, right across street from the New Dick's. Get a piece of art framed up pretty for somebody you love for Christmas.
Sure. Hey, guys, before we get into that, if I can just jump in again, and I think it's worth mentioning as many times as possible, we have multiple accidents happening on 131, mainly in the northbound from Wayland northward. One caller told us that 131 northbound is backed up as far as you can see. So be advised, if you're going north this afternoon, this evening, you might want to take maybe some of the back roads, you know, to get up there, because it's going to be a while.
And take it easy on
back
roads, front roads, side roads.
Yeah.
Even your driveway.
Yeah.
Take care.
No going fast.
That's right.
Because
it's
snowing even down here.
Yeah, our cars are getting covered out there now.
Get a St. Bernard and a sled if you can. I mean,
I'll go with the brandy.
We're going to make the Iditarod down here this year.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Okay, well, let's do the trivia question. And if you're the caller with the correct answer to Michael Loudon's question, you get a $25 gift certificate to PJ's Frame-Up. And the question is...
What is the best-selling Nintendo Entertainment System video game? And this is the NES, so it's the original one, not Super Nintendo or anything else. The original NES... What's the best-selling video game for that system?
This isn't sports, but this is a geek question. I'm going to withhold my judgment for just a little bit here, but this is pretty out there.
Yeah.
382-4280, 877-382-4280. Poor Denny has to answer the phones for that.
They're lighting up, too.
Yeah. And so the question again is...
What is the best-selling video game for the Nintendo Entertainment System? And this was the original Nintendo that I'm talking about.
That's gone, right? Is Nintendo still out there?
The company is still around. They just came out with the Wii U just recently, and it hasn't been faring too well in sales, but
Wii U.
Yeah, they first came out with the Wii, which was you know, you had a remote control for a controller, and you'd wave that around and point it at the screen. And now they got the Wii U, which you kind of have like a tablet to go with, so you don't have to actually play it on your TV necessarily. And the next best game they came out with was the new Super Mario like Land game. So, and that's, they're hoping to boost their sales with the sale of that game.
Okay. And you can get a $25 gift certificate to PJ's Frame Up if you know the answer to Michael's impossibly difficult question.
It's not impossible as you think, if you just think about the popular games that were out for that system. I'm just going to throw that hint out there.
We have a winner, apparently.
Yeah, that didn't take long. That didn't take long at all, guys.
Okay, I'm surprised. I'm surprised.
Well,
so
we had a lot of good guesses. We had Tetris, which I thought was a great guess. My guess, and I told you, Mike, during the break, I would have guessed Madden.
I was going to go with
Madden. That would have been my guess.
I would have gone with Pac-Man.
Pac-Man? Yeah, that's Roger, it's okay. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's all right, Roger.
I'm not a gamer.
And I am.
You are.
Yes, big time.
And my son is. That's how I know this stuff.
That's,
you know. But anyway, the answer is Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, it sold 40.24 million copies, which is double what the next one was, which was Super Mario Brothers 3, and that sold 18 million, and that was the second best selling game for the NES.
Well, where does Madden fall into all this?
Do you
have that?
Doesn't look like it's on the list, but Madden actually didn't come out until the early 90s, so I don't think there was one for the original Nintendo. I think it first came out for the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis.
Okay.
And I can thank my cousins Jenny and Jessica for getting me into video games because they gave me their Nintendo when I was 4 years old. And that's how I got started into gaming.
Wow. Wow. I know a lot of people that are into it, you know, whatever the interest is, you know, whether it's sports or whatever. Tetris was one I always liked.
Wasn't he a coach of some kind?
Yes, John Madden used to be the coach of the Oakland Raiders, and then he went to the booth after that.
And so what is his game?
It's football. It's just a football game. Like, they come out with one every year. Right now, this is the Madden 2013, but it's called Madden 25 because this is the 25th anniversary of Madden games coming out.
And how does it differ? I mean, football is still football a year later.
They just make upgrades with the controls and things like that, really. Just little things to tweak the game, and that's how they update it from year to year.
Get you to buy a new game.
One thing that amazes me, I'm watching television and I see this what I perceive to be an ad for a movie, and it looks so real, and it ends up being a video game, and it's like, wow. I mean, it just amazes me how realistic these people look on these video games anymore.
My wife and I were watching TV last week, and she noted exactly that, some of these games, it's really difficult to tell if you're watching animation or if it's people.
Yeah, the graphics have just gotten better from year to year as they continue to bring out new systems. I mean, the advertisements you might be talking about are for maybe Battlefield 4 or Call of Duty Ghosts, because those look so real.
That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. If they keep this up, eventually actors will not have jobs. Why hire a temperamental actor when you can just create your own movie star in the studio?
Mm-hmm.
And they never age. They never ask for more money. And they can keep playing their role. Indiana Jones could go on forever.
Yeah.
I watched that last night. That's why that popped in my mind. CBS News is next. I picked this song for you, Michael.
Thank you, Roger.
I brought a bag of candy in, and tomorrow you're in the other room.
Oh, man.
Denny, I bring in a bag of candy, and I look over, and I catch him picking colors.
I picked all the same color out.
In my bag of candy. I'm sharing it with him, and he picks colors.
That's the mistake you made, Roger.
Tomorrow you're in this room, and you're back over in the other room.
I'm getting vacated.
There's a cost associated with this.
Oh, man. Right.
You're banished to my little corner of the world.
Yes, and Denny gets to come in here on the adult side of the window. You're so
immature. I don't really know if you want that either, to be honest with you. But, hey, let me just throw this in. We're getting reports again. It's going to be continuing. 131 northbound is a mess. We said originally from the Whalen exit, it's backed up beyond the Plainwell-Otsego area. So if you're going into Allegan County at all, by way of Kent County or, you know, whatever, or Allegan, I guess Kent County by way of Allegan County, don't do it. Don't do 131 right now anyway.
Yeah.
It's a mess. It's going to be that way for a while. Multiple accidents, multiple slide-offs. Weather conditions rapidly deteriorating this afternoon, so be advised.
And let's take a look at the WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast. Brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. Mostly cloudy, windy with snow showers. Accumulation of an inch or so with this storm. Mostly cloudy and breezy tonight, and a snow shower or two, a low of 27. Cloudy, cold tomorrow, snow showers, 32 the high. Wednesday, windy and cold, clouds and sun, 29 the high. Snow showers west of U.S. 131. We have 28 degrees in Kalamazoo. And joining us now is Ken Zinn. Ken is the, he is the political director at National Nurses United. But he's actually joining us to talk about the Robin Hood tax. Ken, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing good. Good afternoon.
How does the National Association, Nurses United, tell us a little about that organization and how that organization got involved in the Robin Hood tax?
So National Nurses United, NNU, is the largest union and professional association of registered nurses in the United States. That includes 185,000 nurses nationwide, including over 12,000 in our affiliate, the Michigan Nurses Association, there in the state of Michigan.
Okay.
And so we represent nurses all over the country in all 50 states, most working at the bedside in acute care hospitals across the country. So even in your area, like in Kalamazoo, we've got nurses working there at the Borges Hospital.
Oh, okay.
And the reason why we got involved in this really stemmed organically out of the experience of those nurses at the bedside. As they were treating patients, they saw a great deterioration in the medical condition that patients were coming into the hospital with. And these medical conditions were aggravated by the downturn in the economy, by the recession. And people who should have been seeking care earlier had delayed care. Those who had actually gotten prescriptions from their doctor were taking them every other day instead of, twice a day. And when they were asked by our nurses, why aren't you following the prescription, they would say, well, we literally have to choose between eating and taking our medications, or we have to choose between paying our rent or taking our medication or seeing the doctor. And this includes people who had quote-unquote insurance, right, mm-hmm. who just simply couldn't afford to use that insurance because the copays and the deductibles were so high.
Mm-hmm.
And so nurses as patient advocates in the hospital, we're your first line of defense for medical errors and for to make sure that you're cared for when you come into the hospital for whatever reason you're coming in. We also realize that as much as we are advocates for our patients inside the hospital, we had to be advocates for our patients outside the hospital, and we had to treat those conditions systemically and not just one by one. We had to look holistically at what was going on in this country and actually try to tackle the problems of homelessness and hunger and illness that are all interrelated due to the economic crisis and due to the fact that the safety net in this country has been badly frayed.
Yes, and that brings us to the Robin Hood tax. This is a movement in more than just the United States. If I understand, it actually originated in Great Britain. How did it come to this country, and who other than the National Nurses United are involved in supporting it?
So we're really happy that over 150 American organizations have joined with National Nurses United in pushing for this tax. And just very simply, the tax is a tax on financial transactions. So put even more simply, when you and I go to the store and buy food or buy clothes or what have you, we're all paying a sales tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Wall Street traders buy and sell stocks, bonds, or derivatives, or these very complex financial instruments, they're paying 0% sales tax, nothing, right? And so we think that's not fair. Why is it that the vast majority of people, the 99%, are paying a sales tax, and the rich 1% don't have to pay anything when they're buying and selling these stocks, particularly when the buying and selling of stocks now, 70% of those stocks that trades that are happening on the stock exchange are what are called high-frequency trades. They're actually done not by human beings but by computers on the microsecond. They're literally buying and selling on the microsecond, and it's a casino capitalism is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that there's no value to the economy whatsoever from this these transactions. We think those transactions should be taxed at a very small rate. So nationally, the average, you know, it's sales taxes are state issues usually, and sometimes locally. Average across the country, sales tax is 9.6%. What we're asking for is 0.5% on trades of stocks, and even less on trades of bonds and derivatives. That small amount, though, would raise $350 billion every year in the United States alone that could go to meet the unmet human needs like housing, like student debt, like homelessness, like hunger, like health care in this country that are so needed. And, you know, all of us, when we go to government, whether it's at the local level, the state level, or the federal level, and we say, hey, we need funding for these programs, we're told, oh, yes, but there's no money for that. The Congress just cut $40 billion from the food stamp program, SNAP, in September, which is going to be devastating for so many families.
Mm-hmm.
There's no money for that, but there is money in Wall Street. We think Wall Street should pay back. After all, they crashed the economy. This is actually a really old idea. This was U.S. law from 1914 to 1966. This is not a new idea, and it's the law of the land in 40 other countries around the world. So to answer your first question, yes, there are campaigns going on all over the world. The 0.5% tax on equities that we're proposing, that's already the law in the UK. They already tax equities at 0.5%. We would be smart to actually do that as well and make sure that there's enough money coming in to the government to fund these badly needed social programs.
Mm-hmm. And what is the most common objection to the Robin Hood tax? Why would people be opposed to what appears to be a minimal tax, 0.5%? What pushback are you hearing?
Well, the main pushback is from Wall Street, of course, because they don't want to have to pay anything.
Ah.
They like it that they don't have to pay any sales tax on their transactions. You also hear the argument that, oh, if we do this, then the capital will flee. Well, in fact, most of our big trading partners and most of the big financial centers around the world, like London, like Hong Kong, like Paris, like Frankfurt, they're already doing this, right? So the idea that capital will flee in the UK, they've had this half percent tax for decades, literally, and capital hasn't fled the UK.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're doing quite well. So it's really a specious argument. These Wall Street traders can well afford this and more. We think it's time that they paid back the economy.
Sure. Well, and as you point out, if your fear is the flight of capital, where's it going to go? From what you're telling us, most of the places you would want to invest your money are already have this tax.
That's right. They can't move the New York Stock Exchange to where? Where would they move it to? So, you know, the reality is that there's many, many benefits to trading stocks and bonds in the U.S. That's not going to disappear with this nominal tax.
And surprising to me is this doesn't appear to be a partisan issue. A conservative budget director under Ronald Reagan supporting the Robin Hood tax. So this isn't just a liberal attack on rich people. It appears that there is some bipartisan support for this.
There is. I mean, some very established rich people like Bill Gates from Microsoft, like Soros, like Warren Buffett, all support this. Again, it's not going to dent their portfolios at all. And they understand, again, that there's a social necessity, an economic necessity to raise the funds. And it should come from the people who can most afford it. I mean, we're talking about a child poverty rate in Michigan of 25%. One out of every four children in Michigan living in poverty. I mean, it's mm-hmm. disgraceful.
Yeah.
And, so Michigan needs this money. So there is a bill in Congress, just so you know. Congressman Keith Ellison from Minneapolis has sponsored a bill called the Inclusive Prosperity Act. And this is a bill that would actually impose this Robin Hood tax. And Congressman Conyers from Detroit is on it, and we're trying to get others in the Michigan delegation to co-sponsor the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So we would urge your listeners to reach out to your members of Congress, and particularly Congressman Camp, who, of course, chairs the very powerful Ways and Means Committee, the Tax Writing Committee in the House.
Mm-hmm.
If you have
mm-hmm.
anyone who lives in that district, We need more co-sponsors on the Inclusive Prosperity Act that would impose this tax.
Sure. When do you is there a game plan to get it before the House and the Senate? When might we see the beginning of votes on this? Do you have any idea at this point?
Well, I think we've got to build more grassroots support for it, to be frank with you. And, unfortunately, you were right to say that there are Democrats and Republicans who have supported this, but it's also true that there are Democrats and Republicans both who oppose it.
Yes.
Because, unfortunately, both political parties are financed by Wall Street. And they don't like to bite the hand that feeds them. And so that's why it's really necessary for citizens at the grassroots level to voice their concerns and to speak up for the bill, because that's what's going to get more politicians to actually say, yeah, we need to do this, and actually go up against Wall Street, because they don't like to do that very often in the U.S. Congress.
Yeah.
So it's an uphill climb. There's no doubt about it. But we think as more and more people hear about it, they're going to understand it's a common sense solution to the problems that befall us all.
We're talking with Ken Zinn, political director for National Nurses United. Ken, if people want to learn more about the Robin Hood tax, how would they go about doing that?
The best way is to go to our website, which is robinhoodtax.org, robinhoodtax.org, and there's a wealth of information on the website, and you can also get more information on the legislation pending in the House, the Inclusive Prosperity Act, also how to contact your member of Congress and your senators, et cetera.
And I'm looking at that page as we speak, and it also gives you the opportunity to stay in the loop with the Robin Hood tax and get updates in your email box.
That's right.
Thank you.
It's easy to sign up, and we welcome everyone to do so.
And again, that is robinhoodtax.org. Thanks, Ken. Really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
You too.
590 WKZO time is 4:55. We'll give you an update on the roads coming right up. I can tell you already, they're slippery.
Yeah, they're not good. They're not good out there.
And Denny will give you a complete traffic update.
I'm on it.
Right after a news update. You're bopping along with this. Do you even know who this is?
I have no idea.
I have no clue. No clue.
It's the James Gang.
I never heard.
Joe
never
Walsh.
Heard of
yeah, yeah.
I ended up in the Eagles.
Right. I've heard of the Eagles.
Good. And we thought you were just totally uncultured.
Have you ever heard of the Beatles?
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay,
Rolling
good.
Stones?
That's Rolling Stones, yes.
That's a good start.
Okay. The WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast. Mostly cloudy, windy, some snow showers this afternoon. We may get an inch before this is all over.
Yeah.
More of that snow coming tonight. Cloudy and breezy, 27 the low. Cloudy and cold tomorrow, snow showers, 32 the high. Wednesday, windy, cold, clouds and some sun, 29 the high. Snow showers west of U.S. 131. We got 28 degrees, and Denny, in the last minute or so here, what's going on the road?
Well, basically, 131 northbound is a mess, and it primarily as you get into Allegan County, into Kent County, backed up way beyond the Plainwell, Otsego area, and I would suspect it's only going to get worse as we get into the evening.
WKZO, Kalamazoo.